All right, done.
Well, as you're the host, I'll let you start.
Good idea. I already forget how this works, but hello and welcome to another episode of Hypothetic RL. Tonight I am joined, as always, by Richard, a crazy Roosters fan. How you going?
Well, thanks, mate. And yourself?
I am well, thanks. I am your host, Mario. David will not be joining us tonight, so I have last minute, late notice, one day late, decided to fill in, and here we are. So, to start us off, last week we watched a bunch of a few interesting games and a bunch of pretty crappy ones, but we started out with the Roosters going down to the Melbourne Storm, 18-12. Do you have the votes for that game?
I do. Roosters, three for Carey, two for Crichton, one for Radley. And for the Storm, three for Hughes, two for Paps, one for Katoa. The turning point was the Hughes kick to Coates right at the end.
Late turning point. I isn't it I'd say a big thing to note is that Pappenhausen is starting to look fast again.
He does. He looks back to his best, and he's been improving every week. And he, I think, the last week or the last 2 or 3 weeks, he really has looked like he's just accelerating properly and finding gaps and running good lines as well. So it looks like, I mean, fingers crossed, he's back to his best.
Yeah, a few weeks back, somebody set off against Storm, and he was just doing this very slow jog as this person just absolutely zoomed down the sideline and left him for dead. And I remember being a little concerned. Was it, did they play the Bulldogs? I can't remember who it was that this was. Might have been even last week versus the Dogs. Nah, I feel, either way, not good, not good podcasting if I have no actual information to hand. So let's ignore that. The point is, he's looking good now.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. It was a strange game, this one. It was very ploddy and dull with lots of errors, but some very sort of strange, crazy stuff going sporadically spread through it, which, if you weren't a fan of either team, you probably laughed at quite a lot. But by and large, it was a frustrating as hell game to watch as a supporter. And I just came away thinking both teams were kind of close. Hughes made a real difference, and Pappenhausen, I think that they just had a bit more speed in certain, especially down that side where old man Jennings was defending. They ran right down his side. He's too slow. He couldn't, the combination wasn't there. He wasn't defending well. So he's back again this week, which is brilliant for Roosters fans. And it just, he's been gone too long and he shouldn't be there. And they just, I'd put a child in, a kid in there just to sort of, you know. Roosters looked hopeless down that one side, and that was the difference really. But there was lots of errors, 12 errors each. And the Roosters have this annoying habit, and they've been doing it all season, that if they build up any pressure at all in attack, they immediately give away a relieving penalty. They do it every time they're down the opposition end, so they're always defending, they're always coming off their own line, they've not got field position, and they just don't look very clever.
I mean, the Roosters have had so many of these close games this season. I mean, so have the Storm. The difference is that the Storm gets out of them, but the Roosters keep having these close losses where they don't look like they're anywhere near as good as the opposition, really, but they keep only just losing.
They've got good defense. Their goal line defense is usually exceptional, and I can't fault them on that. But the rest of it, they just don't look fluid in attack. They look bumbling. The back line hasn't been there, and I don't like the halves combination at all. They're back to Walker and Kiri again this week, which I don't like. They don't have a clever kicking game. They kick a lot. But they just kick in, it gets picked up by opposition defenders on the full, and the ball, you know, if the opposition, they're kicking off their own 30 or 40 all the time, it's going to the opposition 30, who are then running it back to halfway, and the opposition starting the sets on the halfway line every time. And you can't play a game where you do that and win.
No, that's absolutely right. The other thing that I am really noticing this year is that there's a lot of attention for Zach Lomax for how incredibly he's playing as, you know, probably the form winger of the competition. But I think people shouldn't be underselling just how good Xavier Coates has been so far this year. And here's another game where, you know, he's won it with a try late on, maybe not as spectacular as the other one, but he is just performing every week and he's being so consistent. And he's been a source of frustration for Brisbane fans and then for Storm fans for many years now. And he's really stringing it together. And I wonder what that is. I'm not sure what has spurred that in him, but he just seems to have just, you know, grown a third leg. He's so consistent now and he's catching the ball. He's showing us the things we've always thought he could do. It's a lot like things we expect Jason Saab should be able to do, but Coates can actually move side to side, and it's really making him a hell of a player.
Yeah, absolutely. It also helps when you don't have to make a single tackle in the game.
Well,
You're nice and fresh in attack, and he just showed the Roosters up. Yeah, 100%. He's looking good, which is fantastic for Blues fans, with Origin approaching.
yeah, I put together a Blues team today and somehow forgot to put Payne Haas in it. So I deleted my tweet because I'm like, I'm sitting there looking, going, why does my front row not look right? Then someone just started mocking. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot Payne Haas. Delete.
You
That was embarrassing.
can get it right next time.
Yeah, I'll give it a go in a week's time and I'll get it wrong again
Yeah,
by, you know, I mean, this time I very intentionally forgot Tedesco, but you know, I might forget Tommy next time or something equally silly.
well, you could always
Moving.
defend yourself by saying you are only picking for players that were currently in form.
Sure, Haas is horribly out of form, having missed a couple of weeks. You're right.
That's right. Back next week.
Now for the first but least of many floggings, but certainly one of the more surprising ones of the round, I thought. My son didn't because he tipped it correctly, of course, little bastard. St. George Illawarra Dragons 30 defeated the Warriors 12.
Yes. And Jack didn't send through the 3-2-1s for this, so we don't have them.
Oh, well, what would be your turning point, do you think? I mean,
Well,
was it just Zach Lomax drawing breath that day? Probably enough of a turning point.
With this game, I had the 3-2-1s. I had personally Hunt for three with Saints, Lomax with two for Saints, and Suar with one. I had, not that it really matters so much, but Fenua Blake, Harris, and Chance as the 3-2-1 for the Warriors. I think the turning point for me was the I got. Two, I wrote down a couple of things. Dragons disciplined, Warriors not. Dragons were high completion rates, did everything they needed to do. And then in attack, the Warriors did not go right once. Not one. Oh, sorry. The Warriors didn't go left once. They went right
That
every
makes more
time.
sense. Yep.
Every single time they went right, they wouldn't go left. They didn't do it once all game. The Sloane try was unbelievable. And Sloane and Lomax, two top try scorers in the NRL for the season at that point when this game was being played. So I just say that the Warriors' inability to mix up their attack, and that may be down to the fact that their halves combination is sort of not what it was. They're missing their main, you know, the Johnson's main foil. But they just seem to go one way all the time. And it was too easy for the Dragons to mop up in defense. And that was really what the problem was for the Warriors. They were too
One
easy to read.
thing that really kind of actually upset me was the laziness of Wateni Zalesniak in defense on one of those tries. He just sort of stood there. Was it the Sloane one? Now I've forgotten. There was one where he just sort of watched them go past him, and you think, well, you could have just put in a small amount of effort, and he only. To me, it felt like a few times that he was putting in effort in attack and not in defense. And
Yeah, I got that feeling as well. And Rocco Berry, six errors. He had an absolute shocker.
I mean, yeah, six is too many errors. I don't know about you, but that feels like a lot of errors.
Yeah. Well, what I noted when I was scoring it as errors, as opposed to official ones, but they were just, it was, he was just, he had one of those days where everything went wrong. And you sometimes you have them. And yeah, a couple of their others didn't do brilliantly, but Rocco Berry was really just having an uncomfortable day out there.
There was a lot of thought before the season that, Flano was the type of coach the Dragons needed, but we all did wonder, could he do it without salary cap cheating or drug cheating or whatever else? Because we don't know how much cheating exactly went on when he was a Sharks coach. We know there was some of both types of that. So we don't know when the years really stopped. We're not going to believe the NRL that said, oh, they just conveniently cheated either side of the grand final, but not the year of the grand final,
No,
whatever.
I believe it 100%. I am someone of the cheating caste, and I am a lifelong cheater, and I will do it if I can get away with it. And if they get away with it, then I say it doesn't happen.
Okay, I mean, that's good logic. The point is, the Dragons seem to have this a level of patience that I don't think they've had. That you would expect the Dragons of the last pre the previous few years to have folded like a cheap suit when the Warriors got away to this good start by getting the first try and putting on some pressure, but the Dragons held out and they just sort of waited their turn, and when their turn came, they absolutely took it. And it's showing a level of maturity that I wouldn't expect from some of those particular players that are on that Dragons side. You don't look at some of the players in that team and think, there's some well thought out, intelligent people.
No, you don't. And I think a big turning point here in this game was the bench rotation. The Dragons were good with theirs. Murdoch, Masilla, DeBellin, Laurie all did things that were good. And the Warriors were just they were gaps in the middle when they were rotating through. So the Dragons took advantage. And yeah, Hunt had another good game. Lomax as usual. He's a good pickup for the Eels. David will be very happy. It'll be interesting to see how
Are
he
we sure
carries on.
Lomax will be happy? Because he's got to be watching how the Eels are going and versus how the Dragons are going right now and thinking to himself, am I an idiot?
Maybe, but yeah, I just think that he's going to be something that will. He's a big piece of that Eels puzzle. So maybe he's stepped out of the frying pan into the fire. Who knows?
I mean, where would, just to go off topic slightly, where would you put Lomax for the Blues, wing or center? To me, he's there. He starts.
I think he's definitely in the team. I haven't given Origin any thought, so I don't know who would you be in. Who would be in this? He's actually a natural centre. So what would you go with, Crichton and Lomax in the centres?
Well, yes, I would happily do that because I don't want Teddy in the team. But
Yeah.
mind you, as a Manly Platt fan, I don't want Tommy selected. I'm happy for them to pick Teddy. But as a Blues fan, I want them to pick Tommy and leave Teddy out. Teddy, I want him to retire, go out saying, I've done everything I can do, et cetera, et cetera. It's time for me to move on.
Teddy should not be there. He falls over too often.
Exactly. But Luttrell, I think, is going to get picked in the centres, but I don't think he should.
I wouldn't hate that, and I'd play Lomax alongside him. And I think someone with Lomax's energy might bring out a little bit more in Luttrell playing alongside him. Maybe that's a good fit.
Possibly. I think with, I'm glad there's a couple of weeks left before they have to make the call, because with the Dogs going well, Crichton getting better each week, I mean, even Matt Burton, the way he's playing, he's actually started to do well. I don't want him in the team, but if he keeps
Crichton's on the
playing,
left, right? So,
well, I don't think it matters. Crichton, he's on the right for the Dogs, isn't he, at the moment?
oh no, he's been playing on the left because he's been playing with Kickow.
Ah, oh, okay. I've
So
definitely.
that's the same side as that they would naturally put Trell.
I'm not really fussed which side. I do believe most of those players can just play other side, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they put Tommy, when he played wing, did play a bit of left wing before he went into fullback once Brett Stewart left, but then he was happily slotted in right centre. I'm not
Well, there's
convinced that
no
Tommy
Warriors
can.
in that team because they're Zoolanders and can only go one way.
The one moment I wanted to highlight from the Dragons game that made me stand up and cheer was that Lomax try, where he's the high kick and he's just run on at absolute full speed And just
I just looked at it and just went, oh yeah, the full, you know, the fullback's got that, and boom, and you're like, oh shit, no, he hasn't.
Yep, just I think an effort level that Lomax hasn't had in previous years. Like, he's always wanted to do the big plays, but not always. He's just not always been in the right place. It seems like his footy IQ has just improved this year, and or his being the wing is just a naturally good spot for him. I don't know.
Yeah, but he played centre that game.
That is true. He did.
And yeah, he was fantastic. So look, I just think the coach seems to be getting something out of him. And whether it's a fuck you, I'll show you how good I am, or whether it's I don't know what it is, but he's just he's suddenly gone up a gear. And watch out, whoever plays him next.
Well, next up, I think was the weirdest game of the round is the Parramatta Eels 16 playing at home. I've used air quotes for the listener's benefit there. Going down to the Dolphins, 44. Now, looking at that scoreline, you think, oh yeah, Dolphins have dominated. It's a nice, comfortable, easy Dolphins win. And it's just not how it went.
No. The Eels dominated field position. They dominated possession.
For about 50 minutes or so.
For about 50 minutes. And then all of a sudden, it was just like bang, 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 bang.
Because it
like,
was 10-4. 10-4, I think it was, at about 50 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And then 40 points, just boom.
Yeah. This was just a strange, strange, strange game. I have a lot of things written down about this one.
You've got the points, because I mean my turning point is simply that Tessie new try, the first one, that is, because the Eels should have scored multiple tries before that, and the moment the Dolphins got that, it was lights out, game over.
Yes. So what we got is 3 for Pennacini, 2 for Cartwright, and 1 for Hopgood. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to give points to 2 of those players. I thought Pennacini was really the one. For the Finns, Fuller with 3 on debut.
Yeah,
or not
right.
debut, second game, right?
Yeah.
Katara for 2, Plath for 1. But I could have given points to Bostock, New, JMK, Nikarima, Kerr. Oh, God. Just any of them could have gotten points. Unbelievable. Yeah, it was Russell missed a kick for goal early, and then Russell got put into touch for no try as well. So the Eels could have been 10 points up early, like 12 points, I mean, because he missed the kick from right in front. And then he got put into touch. So they could have been 10 up really early, got kicking for 12. And it wasn't. They were only 4 up. And that felt like a bit of a thing. And then Parra took 2 from a penalty. And then in that sort of second half, the floodgates just opened. And the Dolphins just ran riot. And it was that bench rotation and the small men of the Dolphins that did all the damage. It wasn't them bashing it up. It was just waiting until the Eels got knackered and all that humidity and heat. And then just small guys just taking over and running through big guys that were knackered.
Well, the amount of players that the Dolphins had injured, unavailable for this game, it's absolutely insane that they were able to do what they did. But, I mean, mind you, I think you didn't even mention, as an honourable mention then, unless I missed it, the person I would have given 3 points to is Jeremy Marshall-King.
Yeah, I did give Jeremy Marshall-King, he said he was one of the guys. You missed him. Bostock, New, JMK. He was very good. And they had 7 or 8 players. It was very good.
Absolutely.
I couldn't fit them all in.
No, I'm not knocking those, the ones you gave the points to. I mean, Fuller was so good.
He was brilliant. Yeah. And if
Matt
you said, someone said 3 points, JMK, would not have even argued. I just said, yep, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. But he's the new young Matt Moylan. You know, everyone commenting on how he's a kid and he's secretly 48 years old. So,
yeah. The Eels didn't bring on Talangi until very, very late, which I thought was a real misstep in that heat. The Finns were rotating through with Kerr and O'Sullivan and Stone early, and you know, was it Keeley? Yeah, Keeley as well, who all came on and did good things. So they were just bringing they had a smaller bench and they rotated it through very, very well. Took their big guys off, rested them when they saw the other team were getting tired and thought, okay, small guys against knackered big guys are still going to do the job. And that's what it was.
Well, there were so many tries that it's even hard to keep up with who did what, but it was specific that there was two or three in a row. I think it was maybe Fuller and then Plath. Might have been those two tries that really made me sort of jump up and go and shake my fists in the air in excitement with how good they were. I was that There was
Plath
just
getting a double as well.
energy.
How do you get like Plath getting a double?
Yeah, what the heck? There's
No.
this guy that a name that nobody, I shouldn't say nobody, but very few of the general rugby league public would have known that name. He was just a guy, and he still may well end up being a guy, but he's, on that day, he was the man.
He was a good guy that day. So yeah, Nikarima was fantastic. Bostock was good second half, not much in the first half, couple of errors, but yeah, no, it was good. And there's a lot of error marks next to Eels players.
There's
There's a lot.
talk of Gutho having tired legs, which I wouldn't be surprised. He's been carrying this team on his back all season, and him moving to 5'8".
I would not hate that at all. I would
Well,
not
I
hate.
wouldn't. I think when he was 5'8" for Para way back when he first started, I think he was all right there in a team
Yeah.
that wasn't going that great at the time. I do think they've got a decent forward pack. They just need someone there with some experience, and they're rotating through people that just can't quite do the job at the moment. And,
Yeah.
Ethan Sanders, I think he's got a great future and is going to be a really good player just based on the little bit I've seen of him. But is he ready to right now step into a team that's going like this? I think it's a harsh call. He's going to go into a full house at Brookvale with, frothing Manly fans ready for blood.
Well,
It's a tough environment for him to make his debut when in a team that's going poorly. So if they weren't
there's
last
only
minute
one way to
pickup,
find out.
well, yeah, maybe he'll thrive in the cauldron. For his sake, I hope he does well, but just not well enough for Parramatta to win.
Well, that we'll get to later. So the next one was Panthers against Tigers.
It sure was. You want to give us the numbers for that?
Yeah, Panthers 3 for Edwards, no surprise. 2 for Yeo, no surprise. And 1 for Luai, no surprise. Tigers 3 for Bateman, he seems to be doing quite well. Galvin, number 2, the young 5'8", and Papali'i, who actually had a strong game, and good to see him putting in. He's had some good performances this year. Turning point was the Panthers goal line defense following the Edwards knock on. They just seemed to galvanize them.
I mean, again, this was you hate to say it, but a brave performance by the Tigers. They were right in this game until, Alamotti, I'm very glad to see actually getting some minutes.
Yeah, he
When he
played well.
scored that try, that sort of, that took the wind out of him, and you feel like that was game over right
Yeah,
there.
I had Alan Moddy down as 1 point for me when I scored it at home. I had Yeo and Edwards reversed, and I had Alan Moddy with the one, which was my rather than Luai. I had him as a mention.
Totally fair. I thought Fisher Harris had a good game, albeit maybe not with the numbers. I'm not sure what his numbers were.
He was my other mention. So yeah, Luai and James Fisher Harris, my two mentions. Well, yeah.
Yeah, so there you
He.
go. Looking now at his numbers, 14 runs for 138. That's decent an output, not mind-blowing, but he just felt he felt like he was always doing the hits that mattered
Yeah,
in that game.
27 tackles, so he hits hard in defense as well. Well, he got 3 tackle breaks, a line break, an offload, and a try, and 93% tackle success rate. So, it's solid performance.
I thought Finau was pretty good for the Tigers. He's looking all right for a player that's still relatively young and hasn't played a lot.
Yeah, Naden was involved as well. Buller, I had Bateman, Buller, Stefano as my three. So, yeah.
Stefano's doing pretty well. I think he's putting his hand up in a way that, if Parramatta keep going poorly, so that, Bowlo and RCG are not the automatic picks that they have been, then he's certainly looking a good chance of taking that spot up there with us.
Absolutely. I was impressed with Finau as well off the bench, number 17. He just seemed to be in everything and he puts himself about. So I can see why there was big raps on him at the at Manly.
Well, apparently not big enough.
Well, no, you can't keep them all, Mario.
You're right. We can just keep it Aaron Woods and Josh Alloy instead.
Yeah. Well, at least you got rid of Schuster.
One down. I mean, at the price, he's probably the one I most wanted gone, but an expensive loss nonetheless. Gold Coast Tiger Titans, not Tigers. Sorry, Tigers fans. I'm not sorry to any Titans fans because you don't exist. Gold Coast Titans 30, Manly Seagulls 34. What the hell?
I almost wanted to change my team allegiance to the Titans now.
What the hell was this game? What was this trash? I despised every minute of this game. I wish I hadn't watched it. I wish I hadn't watched a second of it. I hated it.
As a neutral, it was probably the best game all week. It was brilliant.
Well, for 55 minutes or so, and then it was just like, oh, no, I don't want to score. No, I don't want to score. No, I don't want to score.
Yeah, they kind of it, the last what was it half an hour? No one scored a point.
Yeah, basically. And
Yeah.
the fact that Tanner Boyd almost scored the match-winning try, of all
Through an
people.
intercept.
I blessed him for that intercept. I was feeling like Manly would. I really felt like we were down for the count. I think without that intercept, even just ignoring what the score ended up, I don't think we win that game without that intercept. That really put us back where we needed to be. And even though, yes, they got the lead again, we were in the game. And I just feel like without that, they were going to score a few more. It felt like a huge moment to me.
It seemed to break the Titans. Their heads seemed to go down at that point. They truly believed until he fucked it up for them. And they just after that, it just seemed to the game just seemed to run out of steam. And look, the Seagulls nicked the win probably undeservedly. So Titans have had a couple of weeks in a row where they've done good things, but they're just a crazy, crazy bonkers team. They're back to their bonkers best, so they're entertaining to watch for a neutral. But Christ, how would you go supporting this lot?
Oh,
I've
it's
got
got to be
no
rough.
idea.
It really has to be rough. I feel sorry for Paul Mack, the frustrated Bears fan, gets on board with the Titans, and that's what he's had to support all these years. His whole life of just disappointment.
Yeah, a decent bloke who just. Gets dealt a shitty hand in life. I mean, some people support West Ham, some people support Leighton Orient. What can you do? There was a English reference there. Three for Kelly, two for Foran, and one for David Fifita for the Titans. I think
How
that's
good
fine.
was Kelly?
Yeah, he was very good. He was good the week before as well. He's had two good performances in a row. And for Manly, three for Turbo, two for Oluokuatu, and one for Paseka. Paseka is doing the business every single week.
Yeah, I'd reverse Turbo and Paseka because even though Turbo got some tries, I feel like in that whole second half he just Brian Kelly just owned him.
Yeah, I had Turbo down as like seven ticks and three crosses, whereas I had Paseka was, four ticks and no crosses. So it's kind of a what do you do? I thought Brooks seems to sort of get involved a little bit. Yeah, he doesn't have many touches, but the ones he does generally are positive, which is good. He lets DC run the team. He chimes in when he needs to. Lodge was strong. Bullimore has his moments. Lawton did not have the best of games, I have to say. Woods was a complete non-event. I had him down as no ticks, no crosses, no impact, no
I
did
will take that as an Aaron from an Aaron Woods performance. That's a win for us.
not. Garrick had a bath. Garrick had the worst performance I've seen him have in a long time, the poor lad. He's so handsome and he kicks a good goal, but Christ almighty, he was not having his best day. And everyone has an off day, and yeah, and I think he was just, yeah, not so good.
Have an off day and a win. That's the time to do it. When your team
Yeah.
can win anyway, that's the way to go. So
That's the way
thank
to
you, Ruben
do
Garrick.
it. Yes, absolutely.
I'm gonna amuse you by I have to this I'm just gonna reference another podcast that I listened to today, which is a Manly Seagulls podcast, where they had a guest host on who hadn't been on for a while. And there's a reason why he's not on very often, is that he, as a Manly fan, described Ruben Garrick as being pretty much the same player as Jamie Lyon. They have about the same ball skills. And he got rightly abused by the other host. And it cracked me up and tickled me a lot. And shout out, Cyrus. You're not listening, but You need to be mocked for that.
I was talking to some Poms about Jamie Lyon, and they were sort of, you know, saying he was very good when he went to England. I said, yeah, because he's in the bloody prime of his life. He went to England because New South Wales picked him out of position at 5'8". So he got played where he'd never played before in a state game. And then the Daily Telegraph proceeds to blame him in a very close loss. And you're looking at a team that's got like Cooper Cronk and Darren Lockyer, and like Cooper Cronk can even make the starting team, Lockyer and Thurston, and you know, all these absolute superstars, Billy Slater and Greg Inglis and God knows who else for the Queensland. New South Wales lost 28-24. And Lyon was absolutely given a bath by the Sydney media, who were just complete scumbags and always have been. And he just went, well, screw you, not doing it anymore. Gave up on the Eels and then ended up in England. And he was brilliant over there because he was brilliant. Yeah. He just, the Sydney media did what, you know, they got what they deserved. And I cheered whenever the media went crawling about, oh, no, he has to play for New South Wales. I was like, no, he doesn't. Go fuck yourselves, because he does that. You don't deserve him. Not the way that you treated him.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a big Jamie Lyon fan, so you'll see no arguments from me there.
I absolutely loved him as a player, even though he never played for my team other than the Blues. And, you know, that did not go well. But I always gave him 100% support because of the way the media treated him.
Very good.
Undeservedly.
Paseka, love him. I love watching him play. He's finally doing what most Manly fans have always thought he should be able to do. The guy's as big as a house. I mean, he's still not a Payne Haas or anything like that, but he's, you know, he's what we need him to be at the moment. And he's putting in, he's finally starting to run free a little bit and get through the line, which is just something he's never really done before. You see him sort of just jogging into the line in past seasons, and it's been really frustrating. He shouldn't run like Aaron Woods. He should run like a wrecking ball.
He runs. He's been running very hard this year, and it's been really good to see. He's a phenomenal looking player when he's at full flight, and he terrifies defenses. So you got a good one there.
Now, a game that I enjoyed a whole lot more. Brisbane versus the Raiders.
Oh, by the way, turning point for that one was the tries either side of half time. Manly just gained a bit of confidence, the scorer said on that one.
That's fair. I mean, they did, so I won't disagree with whoever that scorer was. Brisbane 34, Canberra 10. This was a fun game. Not for Raiders fans, I'm sure. I feel bad for them because the Raiders have been going okay, and not such a fun game for young Chevy Stewart. But I want to actually give him a rap for this game. You don't want to give people a rap for being brave and all that sort of condescending shit. But the reality is he is a really young player on his, you know, just started his career. Second game, was it? And he was having a shocker in that first half, and he came out in the second half and he still wasn't being afraid. He was still attacking the ball in the same way. He didn't lose confidence. And then although the game still didn't go the way they wanted, I really liked the way he put in. I'm not enough to give him points, but or anything silly like that. But I think that shows the signs of a good player to come. You know, people like Darren Lockyer had one of the worst games of all time on his debut for Australia. So that sort of thing can happen.
Absolutely. I remember Billy Slater throwing away a ball that gave
He was the Tri Nations, was it, I think?
Yeah, was it Tri Nations or World Cup? Tri Nations, I think it was.
I thought it was Tri Nations. I might be wrong.
Yeah, and, you know, probably the best fullback I've ever seen play the game. So, yeah. Look, everyone has an off day, but like you say, started poorly in that first half. Everything went wrong that could go wrong. But he came out in the second half, he tried. He did a couple of good things. I was impressed as well by that. So good on the young lad for giving it a go.
But for Brisbane, did you do points? I don't think you did
points,
yet.
3 for Carrigan, 2 for Walsh, and 1 for Mam.
Nailed that. That's spot on.
Yeah, I had Jensen down as a 1, but yeah, Mam as well. Tapanay, Young, and Papali, 3-2-1 for the Raiders.
Tarponet was a clear standout for the Raiders, I thought.
He was clear standout. I had Tarponet, Chris, and Papali'i for the Raiders. I thought Young wasn't quite involved enough. Made the error when they didn't get. I think after he didn't get the try early. After that went against him with the call back with the knock on, the drop in the end goal. I thought he went missing for a while and he didn't come back in until later in the game. So I wouldn't have given him points, but he did rack up a lot of meters. So, you know, fair enough. And a lot of tackles as well. So I can understand why he was given the points.
Well, I believe Reece Walsh was given 6 points for this game, wasn't he? And Carrigan got maybe four, which that upset me a lot because although Reece Walsh does those standout plays and he was very good, to me, Carrigan was probably the performance of the round.
I think what the Dally M's highlight is that people who score it either watch the highlights or they just only pay attention to the big plays and the flashy stuff and they don't pay attention to the grunt work. Carrigan was immense. He was absolutely, over 200 metres carrying the ball and he carried everyone with him. He put the whole team on his back and wandered them up the field. And he just bowled the whole entire Raiders team out of his way while he was doing it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he looked in another world. In a game where they didn't even have Payne Haas, they straight up did not need him because of Carrigan. He just said, "This is my game. I own it. The rest of you come with me."
I want to give a big rap to Jensen. I think week after week, he plays an amazing supporting role, especially in that first half. The first 20, 30 minutes, Jensen is always good. In fact, he's usually as good as any forward on the field. And then Hetherington and Willison off the bench also put in great support. Carrigan has got some good players around him, and those other guys have been lifting more in the absence of Haas as well. Hunt didn't have the best of games, and Baker is not really, I don't think he's quite Broncos pack forward, but every pack has to have. Carry a couple with salary cap does that, but
he's no Aaron Woods.
He's better than Aaron Woods, but he's probably not a Willison. So yeah, I think or a Jensen. So he's probably in the middle of that sort of list of players somewhere.
Oh geez, I'd love to have Willison on my team. He looks like he's going to keep getting better. Yeah, he's a very impressive looking lad.
He is. Yeah, he's very very good. So
at the start of the game, there was a lot of calls of Corey Oates is washed, get him out of there, blah, blah, blah. I thought he did really well for 70 minutes of the game.
Yeah, Corey Oates and I think Madden actually played quite well as well. So
yeah, he did. I know that the worst, like Carrigan not getting the 6 points was the worst thing, but Sasagi getting a point is just the most blatant example of give a token point to someone from a losing team. The fact is, no one from Raiders needed to get a point in that game.
Not in the scoring system that they have. And Tarponet would have been the one player you could probably
exactly.
go, yeah, okay, maybe a Tarponet for a point. But Sasagi, a lot of errors. He came off the bench. He did well being thrown into an unfamiliar position, and he did some good stuff, but. Yeah, I don't think he was the Raiders' best. I don't even have him in the top three. So
yeah, that's
I
just...
think it was the try assist or the try or whatever it happened that he did that just someone said, "Oh yeah, there you go, point."
Yeah, that just felt like that felt like the person didn't watch the game.
The person
more than anything else.
Stats or just bloody did the highlight reel, the mini match, and that was it.
But yeah, the Raiders. I mean, the store. Far out, I can speak. The Broncos, I really do think, look like the real deal. Like, on the ladder, they're only in sixth right now, but to me, that means nothing. They've had a bunch of injuries. They're getting the players back. If they can, even if they can't get Reynolds to stay on the field, I'm starting to wonder if they even need him because Ezra Mamah is doing so much better at controlling that team than I ever would have suspected possible.
I thought he was just a running 5'8", but all of a sudden he could control things. He's putting people into space. He's playing above and beyond any level that I ever saw him playing at. So absolutely hats off to the guy. He's doing fantastic work.
Like, it means that when Reynolds comes back, which I believe is this week, I haven't looked at the teams, but I believe that was the plan.
Round eight, I thought, was the official.
Well, that's good because that's this week.
Yeah, that was the return. So that is this week, yeah.
But I'm hoping what that can mean for Brisbane is that Reynolds can not have to take every kick, not have to be the main guy in every play, and he can just sit back a little bit, do what he needs to do, still be the dominant half, but know that Mam is ready to step up that little bit. It's a bit like when Luai was really good. Was it just last year when Cleary was out and Luai was surprisingly good at halfback and then for Samoa? And we thought to ourselves, okay, maybe this guy, I feel like it was a year before now. Maybe this guy is a good half. And then he's gone back to just being crap again.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you're going back to being crap,
Yeah,
but
I know, I'm exaggerating, but anyway.
yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, so every now and then a player comes along that just absolutely surprises you, and yeah, so Mam is one of those, and he is listed as out at the moment with a finger injury,
Oh,
so I haven't seen if they've named him.
well, let's get to that on
We'll
when we're
get to that when we
moving on
get
to the
to it,
tips.
right? So,
Another odd game, or an odd result. Maybe not an odd game. It was more of a straightforward game in a way, but an odd result that shocked me, but didn't shock that many because it seemed like a lot of people tipped the Bulldogs. Canterbury Bulldogs 36, Newcastle Knights 12.
three for Burton, two for Curran, and one for Sherry was the voters' choices, and three for Thompson, two for Lucas, and yet another one for Pierce Paul. Turning point, Knights scoring. The Knights actually scoring because it woke the Dogs up, and then the Dogs went up a gear and then just blew them off the park.
Yeah, it really did. But it wasn't tries all at once. It was still just consistent play by the Bulldogs. And they just, when they'd get their chances, they're taking their chances. And the Knights couldn't really do anything. And they're now too busy having fights with each other at training, apparently. But that's probably more for the next part of the show. Ponga being injured the whole game and then having to come off. I mean, that's their season. They're done.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any coming back from that and quite where he's got to with his injury, whether they've announced it, what
I
his
think they
time
said
frame
12
is.
weeks.
Yeah, that's a death knell to their season, really. Unless they can dig up someone amazing that comes in there, but I don't think they've got anyone who can do that.
I don't
Yeah.
think Tex Hoy's coming back to rescue them.
I didn't see this game. It was the one game of the week I didn't actually watch, so I can't comment on what went wrong. I'll have to leave it to you.
Well, the real highlight for me, I mean, I can't, there's no point that went wrong apart from, in my opinion, apart from just Ponga being injured. And the whole team just, they can't do much because the Saifidi brothers are just maybe the worst forward pairing in the game right now. They're appallingly bad.
Yeah, there's some Knights fans who are posting on Twitter about these numbers not good enough. What are we seeing here?
Like they're just, they are, they look disinterested. That one of them will have a game one week, one will have a game the next week, but this week to me, I was not impressed by either of them. The person that impressed me a lot, I think he was given 3 points by our judge, was Matt Burton. He's suddenly learned how to pass the ball.
Yes. He's I've seen every week I've looked at him, he's been good. He not only runs the ball, but he passes as well. He gets involved with tackling.
Oh, he was bad in that South game.
Yeah, I'm talking the last three
Yeah.
weeks or so. He's been much improved, and he seems to build that combination with Crichton and Kikau. So they seem to be having something going on there. So
That's
yeah.
been the big change for the Dogs to me. I think what Kikau is doing, I think he is the thing that's turned their season around. It's, yes, Burton's playing well. Yes, Crichton's suddenly playing well. But to me, Kikau's the main contributor in that team that's making all of that possible. Because even when he's not getting the ball, I'm going to do that sort of lazy commentator thing that you'll see the Channel 9 commentators do, where they say, "Oh, look what Kikau's done. He was nearby, and that drew away three defenders." With the sort of crap they used to say about Jarryd Hayne and Ponga all the time, but it really feels true with Kikau that. Now that he's starting to knock people over and just run through, everyone is like, oh crap, what's he going to do? They're putting so much attention on him, the defensive line, that it's making spaces for Burton and Crichton to create things. And Ado Carr seems to be back to his speed.
Yeah, and looking at the numbers, when you sort of look in recent years at how the Panthers play their football, and they sort of, they get the meters out from the back, and their forwards are usually used for defense, and then their forwards get involved a bit to enough to sort of, have two or three of them over 100 meters, etc. If you look at that game, Karaz scored, Jerry scored, Crichton scored, Adakar scored. So you got all of your back wide players all scored, and there's 190 meters, 150 meters, 130 meters, 140 meters. They're all bringing the ball back. They're all getting themselves in the field position, and then they're forwards. And you look at, I'm sorry, Connor Tracey as well was almost 200 meters. And if you look at their forwards, King went over 130, Curran went over 130. There's performances right across the board. Kikau got 84, but did 25 tackles. And if you look at him doing, he's got the tackle break and a line break assist and a line break and three offloads, and he keeps the ball moving. And
Yeah, he doesn't have to make big meters kick out. He's there to play the Dave Taylor, the Dave Fajita sort of role. He doesn't have to be the meter eater, even
but
though
he's
he in
keeping
theory
that
could.
ball alive, keeping things moving, keeping defenses, second phase play opening up, all that sort of stuff that the Panthers do really well at times. And Bulldogs are sort of starting to get in the way of doing it. So they are improving out of sight.
I feel really sorry for Blake Taff because in a couple of those Bulldogs losses earlier in the season, to me, he was their standout player. He always looked dangerous, but they just couldn't make it happen. But he's gone, and Connor Tracey's coming in and playing really well, and the whole team's playing really well. And maybe he probably is the better player for the team than Blake Taff. But I think Blake Taff actually was impressive. But to me, he feels like a more of a man of steel than an NRL man of the match option.
Maybe break Blake Taff and go and take over from Hutchinson because he always looks slow.
Oh God. I mean, let's put Blake Taff at halfback because how Drew Hutch is being carried by this team.
Isn't he just? I mean, I love Drew. I love Hutch, but he's just, yeah.
He's a trier.
He's a 30-minute player. He's not an 80-minute player.
Yeah, he's probably he needs to play more that Connor Watson of the Roosters role.
Yeah, that's it.
But he's not as good at it as Connor Watson is.
No. Now, the last game, we don't have scores for. So no scores, but I did it myself, so I can say what I thought.
Go for it. It was Cronulla Sharks 42, North Queensland 6.
Yes. Iroh, I gave 3 points to. Wilton, I gave 2 points to, and Nico, I gave 1.2. I wanted to give a huge rap to Stone Street, or Rocky Road, as he's become known as. He was fantastic. Hamlin Ewele over 100 meters off the bench in very small minutes. That was brilliant. Trindle, oh,
Yeah, I
he was very.
know. Isn't that
Oh my
depressing?
God.
It's so
Oh,
upsetting. It really
it's.
is.
Oh, what a. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. And then Mulitalo, as always, for the Cowboys, did and was probably their best. Finny Fuiaki, he was quietly good. He was okay. He didn't make any errors, and he did a couple of good things, which in a team where that was my, if you can see my screen, that was my scoring. If you look at
Gotcha.
the Sharks with all the ticks and the like, yeah, I've got that says Ploddy. That's Jake Granville.
I think you're harsh on Valame to only give him one tick versus one cross. I think he was making important meters that at least made them, they were at least getting up the field a couple of times, and it was
Knocked on
largely
for a
because of him.
try, and yeah,
Yeah,
like he
I
was
know.
involved in a couple of bad things, and he got out of position and got caught out a couple of times, but he did, the effort was there. I said Deard and Finney Fuiaki and Cotter purely absent, completely absent with ball in hand, but he did almost 50 tackles. So, but he just.
I need to highlight something here. Taumalolo, 5 runs, 43 meters. It's over.
He was on the field for like literally. I could. His stint lasted less time than it takes me to make and drink a cup of tea.
Unless the coach just really hates him because He's out there. He made 19 tackles in the time that he was out there, and five runs for 43 meters in it for a 15-minute bench player would be, that's a decent return. Nothing wrong with that. It's not your $9 million man numbers, though.
No, and I don't know if the Cowboys are doing something to make Taumalolo ask for a release.
It feels like it's got to be that, because I don't see another team taking him at the moment, because they've plunged his stock so much.
Even if someone said we'll take 600, I reckon the Cowboys would say yeah.
I mean, at this
And
point they should, because they're
carry
getting no
300 of
value.
his salary.
Yeah, they're getting no value out of him, so they may as well. I thought, I'm surprised Hazelton's numbers aren't better. 10 runs for 86 meters. To me, he felt better than that.
He was big early, and he's one of these shorter stint players to me. He's very good for 20 to 30 minutes, and then you need to get him off. And he's sort of getting a little bit longer each week. He started off as little 15 minutes, and now he's probably up to 30. But yeah, he's an impact player over a period, and then you've got to sort of rotate him out again. You maybe bringing him back on again later would work. But yeah, I don't know. But Rudolph was good in that second half. Talakai seems to strengthen their middle. The Sharks look like a much better team since they took Talakai out the centres and put Iroh there.
Which I feel like we were all saying, Sharks fans especially have been saying for a long time.
Yeah. And they just look better balanced. I don't know who they're going to play now at six. I don't know what they're going to do there.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I don't think he'll be out for super long. But although the drug thing is what's going to be the problem, because I personally don't give a crap if he's used a bit of cocaine. It's more the getting caught using a bit of cocaine and driving and.
Like I said earlier, life of cheating, just don't get caught.
Yeah, basically, like,
Yeah,
it's so frustrating when they're in first place. Like, this just wouldn't happen to a Craig Bellamy team. His
well,
players, like the Cam Munster, they wait till the end of the season, like sensible people, and still don't
get a
officially get
bloody
caught.
Uber.
Yeah, just catch an Uber. You're never getting tested then. You're fine.
Have a little lackey who drives a bus and takes you all home. That this doesn't get on
That's the most rookie error of the whole thing. It is up to the coach or the management of the team to be on top of that sort of thing. They just need to know.
And you would think that someone who spent his life in the cocaine central of Sydney, in the eastern suburbs, spent God knows how many years there and played amongst the playing group that he played amongst and understood the party atmosphere that was in the Bondi
And
in.
stuck God knows how much up his own nose, you'd have to assume.
Oh, I'm
Allegedly.
not saying anything, but yeah. I don't I think at the time it wasn't the snort it wasn't the sniffing kind of partying. It was those pills that thrill and kill a million brain cells, to quote the song. Yeah, La La Land. Yeah, that was more that party scene, but he should know what's going on. He should be putting those players on notice.
If the Sharks can replace him adequately with a player that can just do the job, if Hines can keep going and avoid being picked for Origin, I think is almost important for them now.
Absolutely.
I think they can stay up near the top two or three for some time.
If
And
it's 4 weeks, fine. If it's the rest of the season, nah.
yeah, like in AFL, that never makes the media. It's swept under the rug. First offense, no worries, keep playing.
Absolutely. And I'm all for that. But anyway.
I'd be more upset if it was a Manly player than I am as a Sharks player, but I'm still pretty upset. I like Trindle,
Yeah, I like Trindle, I like the Sharks. So yeah, it's a sad day.
But the
Anyway.
Cowboys, what can you say about them? That is, they're in all sorts. I believe they're still in the top eight. They are. They're in eighth place. How the teams
Don't
below,
know.
like, you look below them, the Dragons are better than them, the Warriors are better than them, the Roosters are better than them, the Dogs are probably better, and I think even the Tigers are probably better.
They can score points and they're good at home, but that there's something wrong with their bench rotation. And I think Sam McIntyre had a really terrible game. Did Gusevski, did he go off with a concussion early?
I don't remember now. I believe he's been dropped for this round, but it may have been from a concussion stand down.
Yeah, I'll have to check because he was there very early on. He started, and I think he what had 2 runs for 3 meters and no tackles, and you're just like, okay, well, what happened there, sort of thing. I don't know. It
I
was like
mean,
I think absent.
as a Manly fan, I can tell you that sort of performance from him, it's not unusual. You usually maybe expect a few penalties given away in between.
Yeah, no, he didn't do anything bad. He didn't do anything bad at all. He was just absent. So I'm assuming that it was some. He's not named on any injury. Whether he must have just got hooked and then not played again, not come back on. It just it. It I don't know. I don't know whether I missed it, but I fell asleep and just I don't know what went on there. But
He's just a nothing player that he's easy to miss and forget.
yeah, I certainly missed him. McLean sort of tried a little bit. Robson, I thought, was completely absent. He did nothing at all. He tackled, but there was none of that running and getting his guys going forward. If your dummy half does not get your forwards coming onto the ball, you have got no chance. And then Nanai had an absolute shocker, and McIntyre had a shocker, and Drinkwater had a shocker. And when you add it all up, it was just a team that looked like they didn't know each other. And they're back, they're. We've got Chester and Valame, who are not there earlier in the season, have come in at the back. So their back line doesn't look really that good. And Finifuliaki was coming off the bench before, so they're missing middles, and they
Reuben
just seem to
Cotter's a
be.
shadow of his of last year, a
He's
year
spending
before
all of
mostly.
his time tackling and not doing any running the ball. And they just, I don't understand completely what's happening at the Cows, but they do not seem like a happy, coordinated bunch willing to play for each other. They seem to be looking at each other, wondering who's going to do the work.
Well, there
And
was just no work when you consider that they are that Robson, as you say, didn't do what he needed to do. They're carrying Granville for some reason. They're still carrying him. We've already mentioned Taumalolo didn't do much. Cotter didn't do much as a starting player. That's a lot of names. That's a lot of salary cap. That's a lot of space on the field just not pulling their weight, and it's giving them no opportunity. And say what you want about Chad Townsend, he's a competent halfback, and he needs forwards to do something, and he just didn't have any.
yeah, Dearden, you can't, he's probably one of the most biggest meter eaters in the biggest meter gainers in their team. And that's your 5'8". That should not be what's going on. Drinkwater was just errors. Every time they got anything going in attack, Drinkwater would make an error linking in somewhere. And it would just, yeah, it's not working. And they're not playing for each other. And their middle and their bench rotation is not looking strong. And they just seem to be at sixes and sevens. And I can't put my finger on it, but they need to have a reset.
Yeah, I can't see what they can do to turn it around, but I'm totally fine if they don't, because the more teams going poorly on the ladder, the further up the ladder Manly stays. So that works for me.
Yeah, and I did laugh near the end. Vossi said this is a hard watch for Cowboys fans. And I was the way I was looking at it, I was like, that was a hard watch for anyone other than Sharks fans at one point. It was dire.
Yeah, like I can enjoy a good flogging when you see the Broncos or the Dolphins running right the way they did, but the Sharks didn't really run riot. It just more felt like that they were just there was chances, so they took them, but it wasn't exciting chances
Yeah.
the way Dolphins and Brisbane ones were.
No, exactly. I don't know. It was high scoring, but it didn't seem to engage me or make me excited about it. I was just happy for the Sharks that they were doing well.
Well, it's about time someone score 50, and I think this round is the time it's going to happen. Which game? Well, let's wait and see, but I don't think it's the first one. Warriors versus Gold Coast Titans at Go Media Stadium.
That's it. So what we've got, Ravalava has been forced out with knee soreness.
We're talking Warriors and Titans. I don't think Ravalawa plays in that game.
I thought that was the first game. Warriors. Oh, sorry. What the hell? Oh, there we go. Where's that? Warriors Titans. Dylan Walker's back. You'll be happy.
Oh, I'm so happy.
He's on the bench alongside Zion Mayuu, who makes his NRL debut. Have you heard about him?
I have not. Anyone called Zion is going to be exciting, though. I assume he's about 130 kilos, and you know, just mows people down, much like his namesake. So,
But it's Zion, not Zion. So that's an interesting one.
oh God,
So
parents who can't spell,
that's
get
it.
them out of here.
I like it. Shawn Johnson expected to play despite reports of an Achilles injury. Oh, that does not sound good. You can't run without an Achilles.
It's a bit difficult. I am
No
wondering.
changes for the Titans. Erin Clark named on the bench and could start a lock for Cleese Haas, but the squad's expecting to be as per program.
Okay. I mean, Titans, as we did discuss, they're looking better. They're playing okay. But what's the opposition doing? I think Warriors finally, after all these years, having a game on Anzac Day in New Zealand, I think they've got the demons of floggings past to exorcise. And I think the Titans are going to be the victims of that. And I'm expecting about 38 to 14 to be the score. Two Warriors.
The one thing that worries me is the combination in the halves for the Warriors and the fact that they did not handle that very well without Luke Metcalf. They just I don't know quite. They've got who they got out at the moment. They've got Capewell's out, Niokure's out, Afoa's out, Tavanga's out, Harris Tavita's out, Freddie Lussick's out.
Is Harris Tavita injured though, or has he simply been dropped because Walker is back? Which I don't.
Calf is out with a calf injury, so Dylan Walker's return is a timely one. So they have got a bunch of their, let's say their rotation, their bench is not going to be strong.
It's not. That's not jumping out at you there. Those names on that bench. I'm kind of surprised
No,
Roach is Pompey
Walker
is
will
18th
add,
man.
yeah, Walker will add to that. He'll give them something, but I think where the Titans have got a chance here is Erin Clark and Josiah Pahulu and Isaac Liu coming off that bench.
Yeah, that's fair. It's if Verrills can not snap like a twig in this game, if Tanner Boyd can not do the Tanner Boyd things, and if Brian Kelly and AJ Brimson can keep doing what they did last week, which was extremely impressive, then yeah, they certainly could win this game. I don't think they will. I do think the New Zealand crowd is going to get the Warriors up, but I mean, I didn't. You don't know what Titans are going to do right now. They're almost back to their crazy best.
Yes, back there, crazy, best and worst, and everything in between. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to tip the Warriors in this one. I have changed my 52%, by the way. I needed to tell you and everyone else, I've changed it to the Dragons, which is the next game we're going to talk about.
Oh, you copied me. Good job.
I looked at the, as I've been saying all week, the Dragons, absolute morals. The Roosters
Those
don't stand a chance, and
those
they.
Roosters outs that they could they I, even though I don't think there's probably smarter games, maybe I'm silly. The Storm is the obvious pick of the round, and I probably should have taken them, but I think I need to take the Dragons. I think the Roosters are pretty down and out at the moment. This feels like the time to take the Dragons to me, given those Roosters out. So that is the next game at Allianz Stadium.
I think in the first 20 Anzac games, I think the Dragons were up sort of 14-6. All through the years when the Dragons were no good and the Roosters were top of the table, this would be the one game of the year the Dragons would beat us. So I, you know, with the teams even with the Roosters being the better team, I would still tip the Dragons. With them being even, I tip the Dragons. With the Dragons being very much better, I tip the Dragons. So the only time I tip the Roosters is if the Dragons are absolute bloody on the, you know, bottom of the ladder and missing everybody and no good, and then I might just about tip the Roosters then, because this is one game of the year where the Roosters just seem to walk out there like they own it and get fucking shown up every time, and it kind of makes me sick.
I mean, Dom Young's back. That's a big in for the Roosters. A
That is.
very, very
So,
important
Ravalawa
one, but
out with knee soreness. So, this is the right game now. So, Jack Bird is returning from a head knock in the centres, and Zach Lomax is back to the wing. Marski and Molo remain on the extended bench, but they're not in the starting lineup or in the on the interchange. The Roosters lose Tupo and Radley, and Michael Jennings comes in. So that will give, if the Dragons can find some speed out of their back four, they will run straight through him. So, yeah, I don't know. I think if Tyrell Sloan chips in and starts, you know, combining, if he's on the same side as Jennings and Lomax is on that same side, they'll just tear him apart. Yeah, I've got, then there'll be line breaks galore. So I'm not happy with that. I just think that the Dragons four pack, if they can keep it tight, not make mistakes, you know the Roosters are going to make loads of errors. You know the Roosters are going to give you lots of penalties. You're going to have all the field position you want. And when that happens, and then you wear them down, and then you'll beat them. And that's the end of it. So unless the Roosters can knock out errors and stupid penalties out of their game, and they've always been a penalty side, the Roosters, when
it's
they
the
did
timing
really well.
Of the penalties, though. Roosters, when they were giving away a million penalties on their line, that was okay because it wasn't costing them. They're up by
their
six.
Their goal
you can
line
give them
defense
away.
Is always good, right?
Yeah,
It's
exactly.
Giving away those field position inside the opposition coming off their own line on their own 20 or 30, and then doing, and it's always hands on the ball or not standing square at marker, which is subjective penalties. They're always the same ones. We always don't stand square or we put our hands on the ball. We do it all the time. We give away field position. And like when the Roosters were really, really good in 18 and 19, they did the same thing. They gave away field position, but they had someone called Cooper Cronk and they played at a ground called the SCG. And the SCG is weird because the building positions are weird. So when you're kicking 40-20s, Cooper Cronk knew when to kick, where to kick and get a 40-20. The number of times opposition teams tried to kick long at the SCG and kicked it out on the full, which put the Roosters back on the attack all the time. About three or four times a game, the opposition would kick out on the full, long. And it happened every game. And that is the same as getting three errors or turnovers or penalties or whatever it is, or four, every single game. And then when you are in trouble, your own kicker could kick you out of trouble. We don't have that, and we don't have that advantage anymore. We've lost the advantage both when we're defending and attacking. So that's a big reason why the team is so different.
Okay, moving on to the last Anzac Day game at Amy Park. We have the Melbourne Storm against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. The South Sydney Rabbitohs have not won at Amy Park in about 104,000 years, I think is the official number. And they basically have not, you know, they've only won one game this whole season that they shouldn't really have won. And especially in hindsight with how the Bulldogs and the Rabbitohs are playing, this is the game that I have got down as the absolute burger fest. If the Storm don't get 50, I'll be shocked. The only reason they might not is that this season, the Storm keep playing to their opposition. They're not dominating the way they have shown at times they could. They just keep playing at the level the other team does. But I think their floor is so much higher than the Rabbitohs ceiling at the moment. I think they won't be able to play that badly.
Well, I think you're exaggerating with the length of time they haven't won down there. I think it's 103,000 years.
But, oh, I'm sorry. Apologies, Rabbitohs fans.
Yeah. Look, we've got Nelson has been set to start with Christian Welsh on the bench. Otherwise unchanged. Jai Arrow is going to start. And Cameron Murray has completed concussion protocols. And so he's back as well. So it's a slightly better looking Rabbitohs team.
God help South if Murray wasn't there. My God.
Yeah. And I mean, Callum Matangi and Arrow, Cook's back as well. So,
Havili's on the bench, which I'm happy to see for them. Cheekham, yeah. I'm on the bench. I'm less happy for South to see.
Nat Mamzoulis, he looks okay in parts when he comes on, but I think that the Storm with Christian Welsh and Joey Chan seem to be, the Storm seem to be reasonably well balanced enough to beat whoever they play most weeks. So, yeah, I'm not going to go a 50 burger. I'm going to say it's going to be a close one because the Storm will just do what the Storm do. And the rabbits will stick in there. And I see this as being a 2-point game.
I'm enjoying seeing Grant Anderson at number 19. I like knowing that the Storm are only one injury away from the pain of having to have him play, because Storm fans and Grant Anderson are they don't get along.
The Central Coast's finest, Grant Anderson.
He's one hell of a crap player, the poor guy.
He like I've got a soft spot for him because he did a couple of good things when he first came into the team, and he played quite well on a couple of occasions. But then he just, yeah, it didn't last. The it was a brief honeymoon. For the Rabbitohs, Dean Hawkins' his short kicking game and short passing game has been improving every week. So if he can start controlling the team a little bit more and build his confidence, there could be something there for the Rabbitohs. But yeah, you've got to favour Paps, Hughes, Munster, Grant. That spine is just absolutely scintillating. And you've got enough talent in that back line with Coates and Meaney and Remus Smith, Will Warbrick. There's enough there. Sean Blaws quietly building.
Yeah,
Katoa
he's been doing well.
Liero. Yeah, there's just good players in that Storm team. And I think the Storm are going to win, but I don't think it's going to be the blowout that you seem to think it will be.
Well, I think if Colin Matangi can do what he can do rather than what he has been doing this season, he can make a difference to South. But the way he's been playing lately has not been great, to say the least, certainly compared to his standards. You would have expected in that lineup that it wouldn't be Murray doing all the work, yet that Keon could be there helping him, and he hasn't really been doing that. So if they can get a big game out of him, maybe you'll be right and they can at least be in the contest. But traditionally, even when Souths were good, they've gotten towed up in Melbourne. 50 points put on them, I believe, a couple of
And
years back.
I've noticed that Tass and Milne are still in that back line, so that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence either. So, yeah. Okay.
It doesn't. A game that does inspire more confidence in me is Manly Seagulls against Parramatta Eels. The last time they played, Manly were quite poor and got beaten in a tight loss, thanks to Jake Trbojevic deciding that stopping in the line and impeding a defender was something that he was allowed to do. And it turned out he was not. That won't happen
Yes.
at this time. Parramatta don't have Mitchell Moses. They've got young Ethan Sanders, who's just signed with the Raiders, making his debut. Bloody Mike Acevo is back for the
He is.
Eels, which I think is fantastic news for Manly.
Well, you'll be super happy that Josh Aloi is back for Seagulls.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was trying to be positive here.
Well, look, let's follow the chain of command here. So you got Aloi back, that pushes Matt Lodge from the starting lineup to the bench, and Aaron Woods out of the 18, out of the 17 altogether.
I mean, Aloi is an improvement on Woods, except that Woods won't lose us a game. Aloi most certainly cost us a win.
Yes. He in that game against the Warriors when he had that brain snap, before he had that brain snap, he was actually quite good at parts. So, like,
He's been better this year than last year. There's no question. Apart from that obvious stupidity, he has been better.
he was in, yeah, I was like, okay, he's, and then you went, oh, okay.
There he is. That's the guy that the opposition fans love.
Yeah, then Nathan Brown is back.
That I'm happy about. Nathan, missing him, it was not good. He has been so good for Manly. Not something I ever would have thought I'd say.
I thought I want to see him come off the bench and have a game like he did a few, that one a few weeks back where he just, well, I gave him 3 points and just have an absolute monster because he was just so much fun to watch. He was careering his people like he just didn't give a shit. And up against his old team could be the way, what's really going to inspire him
Tommy
again.
Talau, I don't think we mentioned him earlier, but he was really good for Manly against the Titans, which surprises me. Anything that keeps Jackson Paulo out of the team, it will make me happy.
Yes. Oh, poor Jackson. He's been at the Rabbitohs, he's been at the Roosters, he's been at the Seagulls, and not one set of fans has warmed to him, have they?
No, he's just, I mean, I feel like his first two games for the Roosters, I think he debuted against South for you guys, like his
He did
debut
really
Roosters.
well.
Yeah, he
Actually,
was
I
good
would
in that
say his
game.
first six games for the Roosters, he was actually really good, and then the errors came, and
Then
they didn't stop
his
coming.
he couldn't keep himself out of the game in that
Look,
way.
he needs to go. He needs to play somewhere where dropping the ball is considered a natural part
You're
of
saying he's an
sport.
AFL player?
No, I'd say he plays rugby league in England.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the English like to drop the ball, but AFL would do. Yeah, he could go and do that.
I mean, he likes to jump. He doesn't
Yeah.
actually catch the ball. He doesn't handle the ball well when he runs, so
But
sounds just like an AFL
how does
player.
he look good? Does he look good in a Guernsey? This is the question that's on everyone's lips.
I mean, I'd like to just say that's not even a real word. I refuse to acknowledge, but you guys make it a real word because it's the name of an island.
Yes, the blame it's an island very near France, so I'm blaming the French.
That's fair. I discovered recently that there's actually a park run on the island of Guernsey.
Guernsey, the Channel Islands, Jersey, Guernsey, yeah, you can't move there. You have to be born there. You can't migrate there unless you are super, super, super wealthy. So
Yeah,
they
it's
will only
like
take.
Bermuda.
Yeah, they'll only let you in if you're loaded. Like when I was a kid in the 80s, it was like you had to be a multi-millionaire. Like, so God knows what it is today.
In
Anyway.
Hawaii, you just have to Mark Zuckerberg and just be, you know, just buy half the island and kick all the locals off.
Yeah, there's a very small island. In the Channel Islands, and there's this tiny little island, and this big house on it that's owned by an ancient family who go back to the medieval times. And when the Germans took the islands during the Second World War, the German officers would go to visit the house because it had the dame or whatever her name was there. She made them sign the visitor's book every time they came because she said, "You will not be staying." Yeah, good on them. Those Channel Island people are actually okay.
So anyway, Manly 13 plus. I think if we're a real team, if we are a real team and genuinely expect to make the top four or top six this year, we should be beating Parramatta pretty comfortably at home in front of a sold out crowd.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Parramatta team they need to show something this week. They need to show last week was an aberration. They need to fire up. Having Harper in the centres is not good because Matt and Lee know exactly how to exploit him. I think, yeah, look, I think that the Manly have got it in the outside backs 100%. Manly have got it in the forwards. If the Eels really want their fans to believe, they need to stand up here. But I'm going to put my 50 cents on Manly to win the game.
Well, I mean, that starting lineup for Parramatta in terms of the forwards, apart from Lussick, they should have it all over us.
And
Paolo, Campbell
that's the
Gillard,
key to their
Madison Lane,
woes.
Hopgood. That's a lineup.
You can't have your dummy half throwing a ball at people's heads, dropping it, throwing it at someone whose back's turned, and all sorts of other things that you just like throwing the ball not into the bread basket every time, and doing slow passes instead of fast, slick passes, and not pushing up and not bringing his forwards onto the ball and not doing all the things he needs to do and not really running and putting the defense in two minds because they know what he's going to do. He doesn't get the defenders thinking, is he running? Is he passing? Which way is he going? They sort of know what he's going to do before he does it, unless he's just going to make some sort of dumb errors. They need a decent hooker.
Where we should win, really, to me, is the bench. You look at the bench, the Eels have got Hands, Makatoa, Ofengawi, and Tuilagi. There's nothing there, in my opinion.
Well, I
Like
think Hands could be
Joao is about it. He's it.
Hands could be a good replacement to come in for Joey Lussick. If Lussick's not playing well, Hands can come in. He's quick, he's skillful. He could be what they're looking for in that number nine jersey. So
But compare it to Bullimore, Lodge, and Brown coming on for Manly. There's a lot more there.
yeah, there is. Absolutely
And if
agreed.
we can't make that count, like I think the first 20 minutes, 25 minutes, probably I could see that being close. Manly might lead, Parramatta might lead. It could go either way. But the 25 to 45 sort of zone where we get these bench players on, if we don't dominate that period, then that's where Parramatta would probably win the game because we should be crushing them in that.
Oh, yeah, you should be. Now, I just saw, and my brain's working a bit slowly, that Sean Russell is on the in the reserves, so not even in the first. So I would have Sean Russell in the starting lineup. So I don't quite understand the logic there. Maybe they just think that Mikasevo is the hero who's going to change it all around. But I think Russell's been playing quite well for them.
I mean, I think Mike Acevo is not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
I think you're probably closest to the mark there. So
Campbelltown Sports Ground will be hosting at 5:30 on Saturday, West Tigers versus Brisbane Broncos. Now, the West Tigers, as we discussed, were pretty good against Penrith. It was the stereotypical brave loss. They were in the game for most of it. But I think Penrith, although they have done so, they still never look like a team that's going to blow people off the ground. Then they look like a team that is just better than everybody else and do those little things better. Whereas Brisbane are a team that will blow teams off the ground. And I think if Tigers, they need to be on their game and they could be in this, but I feel like the Tigers are going to lose this by 4 to 6 or by 40.
yeah, I'm thinking if there's going to be a 50, this is going to be where it's going to be at. I just see that Reynolds is back, Haas is back. Who else came back this round?
Well, those are the two key ones anyway.
Yeah, Dean Mariner and Brendan Piacura are both back. So they're as close to full strength as that they're probably going to need to be.
Yeah, Willison and Hetherington on the bench are both really good players. Baker, as your sort of last option, play the fewest minutes, is still a serviceable prop. He's
But
still
he's
going to do
back
his
where he
job.
belongs. He's coming off the bench in that 17 jersey. He's back. He's not a starting prop. So the Tigers, the poor Tigers, got their work cut out. I think after this, they've got the Bulldogs and the Knights. So maybe that's where they need to spend. Look at this one as a if they're in it and they can keep the scores close and build some confidence, they can take that confidence into the next couple of weeks against those other teams. So yeah, I can't see anything other than a Broncos win here though. They're just a strong. I think the Broncos are one of the best two teams in the league, and it's not close between them and third place.
I think I know Smoothie's gone okay for the Broncos, but I wouldn't. If I'm a Brisbane fan, I don't care if Smoothie stays or goes. I care if Saylor stays or goes. They should have him on the bench.
What a great name. I like Tyson Smoothie. That's a great name. But I think Saylor's probably the best bet on the bench as well. But yeah, anyway, I just think Broncos for me, definitely.
It's hard to see this game going anywhere else. The only thing is Ezra Mam being out does weaken the Broncos quite a bit based on how he's been performing. But, Madden can do his job. If Reynolds is actually fit and healthy, then Madden's only got to just do his job. He doesn't have to do much else. So I
For
think they'll be
Man, we
fine.
said he's a finger, so we couldn't expect him to be out for too many weeks. So,
You'd hope not because I don't, I'm only a Manly fan. I don't really want anyone else to win. I only ever want us to win. But the Broncos are just so much fun to watch that I find myself cheering for them every week and I kind of hate myself for it.
same. I've never liked the Broncos as a team, but the last few years I've just been watching them go, my God, this team is so entertaining. So I do cheer for them as well.
Yeah, like when they had that run with the Cowboys 2014, 15, 16, 17 in that range where they every game was incredible. You just look forward to that clash every year, every time it came up. And it was so good to watch. But it wasn't because Brisbane were fun to watch. It was just because they were a good team and those two just murdered each other every time. Whereas now, Brisbane are just the most fun to watch. They really
Oh,
are.
my just talking of Cowboys.
Must we? Cowboys versus Penrith Panthers up in North Queensland.
That's it. Now, the news here is that Griffin Neame replaced Taumalolo as a starting prop. Thomas McCailey is on the bench for Jack Gosiewski.
Who is number 19? So he's not out, he's just not on.
Yeah, I think that maybe, I don't know, was kind of in a concussion. Maybe it was just awful. Or he tweaked something. But Nathan McCleary is back.
Yeah, that's the big thing. The Tigers have this theory that the big players always come back against them, and yet there was no Cleary last week. So I'm not sure how that theory stacks up for them.
I'm sure there were three or four others they can point to.
I'm sure there are. I believe this week there were some that I don't think we actually mentioned
At
from memory.
home in humidity, Cowboys, you've got to think, have to put in a better performance than they have been anywhere else. You've got to hope that they can show something, but I just don't think they've got the what it takes to match probably the best team in the comp, or the equal best team in the comp, should I say.
I feel like Penrith are technically the best team. I think they're maybe the best coach team. They're the best organized team in terms of what they do. I think so. Maybe you'd call them the champion team rather than the team of champions that you'd probably look at for Brisbane.
Yeah, absolutely. And it for the it's their how they play as a unit that really impresses you about the Panthers. They just seem to be there for each other. They play for each other. They back up. Their defense is amazing. Trying to score points against them is next to impossible. And then when the game's on the line, they can take it. And they just are a very, very good team. And some
You look at that back line, look at that back five for Penrith is just quality. Every position, like Taruva is comfortably the weakest of those five players, and yet he's still a pretty damn good player.
No, he's a brilliant player. So, and you got someone like Fisher Harris, and then you got Yo, and they're just a good team. Mitch Kenny is a good hooker. Who would have thought it? Moses Leota does his work, and yeah, their bench comes in and does what it needs to.
Yeah,
It's
Alamotti can't find a spot again because of how good that back five is. Peachy's out of the team when Laurie in, which, compared to what it was earlier in the season, I really like Dane Laurie, but I liked him more as a Tiger than as a Panther.
Yeah, me too. And they got Tyrone Peachy, sorry, Mark Maverick Guyer and Brad Schneider, and they've got depth, you know. There's players there that would be starting in any other team in the country.
Yep, pretty much. There's certainly you would say that Guy Alamotti and Schneider all could start at teams right this week, which
Absolutely.
says that that's some pretty good depth for Penrith. And I don't see the Tigers getting close. I think the Bronco, the Panthers. Oh, what am I talking about? Tigers, the Cowboys. I think they're going to get done, but maybe being in Queensland will help keep that from being, 50,
Yeah,
40 sort of points.
conditions always help them. So if they can stay in it, they're a chance to sort of, keep it close. But I can't say. I think the Panthers will grind through them in the end.
Now, another game that I considered for the 52%, and I'm ha half tempted to change it, honestly. Dolphins versus Knights. I think Dolphins are going to win this comfortably.
Yeah, I
It's in
think so too.
Queensland. Knights are at a real low ebb right now. Bugger it, Richard. Can I officially change to the Dolphins?
You can send me a message. I think I've already tipped the dive in, so I can't do the same, but I'm sticking
I'll
with
double check. I don't think I have tipped them yet.
it. Yeah, that Dolphins team look, if they can do what they did last week, and then yeah, and I think that the Knights need to have a maybe sit and have a think about what they're doing. So I think the Dolphins are going to be the one, but we've seen the Dolphins 2 weeks ago, did not look good. And then they were, missing lots of players, and everyone was saying, oh, they're going to get steamrolled. And then they wore the conditions. So maybe I
I
think
mean, you
Brisbane
say
are.
that, but they still only lost to the Broncos by 14 points.
Now, this one is in Brisbane
At Suncorp.
at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I mean,
Still
Katoa
warm in
is so
Queensland at the
good.
moment, is my point.
O'Sullivan has been left out of the bench, which I think is a surprising move. I'm not sure what he's done to make Wayne hate him, but his Nikorima constantly getting picked over him is a surprise to me, even though Nico has been going pretty well.
Yeah, Nikkarima played well in that second half last week when the other team was tiring. So maybe that's why he's got in there. Maybe he's just gonna he's hoping that he can get his run game together when the Knights wilt in the sun. So big raps to Kai Pierce-Paul, who every week does something good. Phoenix Crossland is back, Breed deserves to be on the 14. But yeah, they've switched the halves again. Gamble and Hastings, they're back with. Cogger's back in the reserves. So, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah,
I.
they're all over the place. Adam O'Brien looked like a genius while Ponga was just tearing it up and winning his Dally M
Have you
last
seen
season.
David Armstrong before? Have
What was that?
you seen David Armstrong before?
I don't know who David Armstrong is.
He's named at number one for the Newcastle Knights.
So he is. Well, who knows? He had no stats in 2013, so looks like this is his debut.
Well, if he's related to Lance, maybe he's got some magic juice potion that can get him what he needs to get. Who knows?
Who knows indeed, but yeah, not Knights are not winning this. For what it's worth, I can't tip Dolphins. I have already got a win with them this season.
There you go.
So, but yeah,
Sticking with the draft.
Dolphins by plenty.
There you go.
Raiders versus Sharks. This is Sharks missing Trindle against their foe that they traditionally have extremely tight tussles with. You'd almost call these guys arch rivals at this point these days, with the Dragons having been so relevant for so long. The Sharks have moved on from them, I feel.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders are ready to bounce back. I think they were poor last week, but not as poor as the scoreline suggested, and not so poor that they can't turn it around.
They definitely can turn it around. But Kyo Weeks in at number seven, their biggest problem is going to be the loss of Jamal Fogarty.
Yeah, that's a bigger loss than Trindle.
It is a bigger loss than Trindle, as you ask me. I think that this is, if the Raiders can nick a couple of, I don't know, let's have a look. Jamal Fogarty, round 20. That's hard.
Yeah, but that does feel like the Raiders done, like their season as in terms of achieving anything, unless they can somehow just get a few wins. Maybe they've got a soft draw or I haven't looked. I didn't rate KO Weeks at Manly. Even when I watched him in reserve grade, I never really saw what the coaching seemed to see in him. And when he
Yeah.
was moved on, I was not at all surprised.
Yeah. Look, maybe the Sharks having Mr. Bean playing number six, or Mr. Bean's brother playing number six will help them somehow win it. But I just, yeah, I can't see it.
A big issue for the Raiders as well is when he's not getting his barge over tries, Danny Levi. I've never rated him for a second of his career, and I still don't rate him now.
He started this year really well. But like I think he was, I didn't think he deserved to be anywhere near the team, but I think he was having some really good moments this year, both with his defense and with combining with his players in attack, bringing them onto the ball, getting those little barge over tries. I thought he actually played quite well at times, but I still think Zach Wolford is the superior player.
Yeah, and he can't find his way into the 17. To me, falling for a Danny Levi dummy was it's this is the Raiders thing. It was like falling for a Blake Austin dummy. Like they're going to dummy and go. That's all they've do. So to
Yes.
fall for that is, in my opinion, it's honestly unforgivable by any defending player. You watch videos in the sheds, in training and stuff. You know what? You don't know every single thing every player is going to do, but when a player has one thing, you should know it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in the middle of the field, if you're a
Like
prop and a
when David
forward.
Fifita goes into dummy half, what do you think he's going to do?
Yeah, he's not throwing a cutout pass.
He walked straight over the line last week, and I was like, "What are you doing,
Yeah,
man?"
I'm happy with that, but we have a history of some lazy defensive plays around there, so I wasn't shocked by that.
Yeah.
So
Well, I'm going to put my money on the raid on the Sharks, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders can keep it close. But Sharks for me.
yeah, I don't think a Raiders win would be the most surprising thing of the round, but I think the Sharks should well and truly be good enough to win this, by 12 to 14 sort of points.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And that's the wrap done, mate.
Excellent. That was a bit of fun. You got anything else to say? Do we have anything
Just
to
get yourself
plug?
a game if you can't, if you haven't, and or if you live near a ground or there's football going on near you, get out there. If there's not, watch it. Watch the games. Show a bit of interest. It's been excellent football this year, and I've been enjoying it a lot. So it's a really good thing to do to watch the games each week, and I'm getting a lot out of this particular exercise that we do, and I hope you do too.
When I get to join in, I do enjoy it. This was a rare night off from work for me, so that's why I was just really late notice, say, hey, let's do this.
And scoring the games is fun. I enjoy that as well. So, absolutely.
All right, thanks,
Really
and
enjoy
we'll catch you next time. And David, I hope you're good to go next week.
that. Absolutely.
Okay, bye everyone. All right, we can cut it out there. One thing for you. When you're talking, I've noticed your sound, because you're looking down that way, down at your sheet of paper a lot. Your
Yeah.
sound is going like,
It's a
oh
little bit
yes,
where
yes,
I need to
yes.
be
Oh
speaking so I
yes,
can hear a bit
yes.
more.
Yeah, more. Try and if you can, I don't know, have the bit of paper on the keyboard or something like that, so you can look more at the screen. Because there was times that you were never super quiet, so it's not actually an issue. But sound quality can matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, yeah, I've got to get off the Dragons. I'm really not confident. I think I'll just go back to Manly.
I'm sticking with the Dragons.
I think that I'm gonna have better chances to tip the Dragons than this. When I heard Radley out and Tupou out, I was like, oh, okay, that's a problem. But Tupou out for Young is an improvement. Radley out for Watson is not that big a loss. It's more, I guess, Watson being off the bench means you've got to replace him.
Yeah, look, the Roosters are, like I said, they'll give up field position. They're not playing well. They're not playing for each other, and the Dragons are. And this is the one game of the year where the Dragons always lift, always do well, and we never do well against them. So,
I still think the Dragons are going to win. I just don't have the confidence that I felt earlier today. So I will message you to make it official that I'll change to Manly.
you're changing back to Manly, are you? Because
Yeah.
what did I have it before? I've been on the Warriors. I've been on the Storm. I've
It's
been
a
on.
tough week. And I hate having to have a home team, but there's just no away teams this week that jump out at me except the Broncos, and I can't take them, and I can't take Penrith.
I can take Penrith, but I'm saving Penrith for next week against Souths.
And I was tempted by Sharks, but Raiders always lift against Sharks. Some pretty dog shit Raiders teams have beaten some pretty good Sharks teams over the years.
I could go on the Sharks, but I'm not going to do that. And so my choices are Warriors at home, Dragons at home, Storm at home.
Yeah, well, I haven't taken the Storm yet, so I am actually going to save them for next week against the Titans.
I'm taking Panthers next week.
Although,
And
Jesus, dangerous taking Storm against Titans in Gold Coast. They've had some odd games there.
I can't take the Storm against the Sharks because that's just. And then I'll get into that round 12. I've got Storm at home against Para, but I'm
This.
just trying to work out what I'm going to do before I've got to take the Storm at one point before I get to round because it's stupid not to.
Yeah, see, I think I'm good. This is going to be when I split my competitions, because in the Coltrane Cup, I think I'll take the Dolphins again, but I can't because I want an away game. I don't want to be 5-3. I'd rather be 4-4, and I think the Finns are specials.
I'll now second guess myself. Do I go Warriors or Storm? Because the Storm are playing Souths, and then I've got the Penrith, and what goes after the week after that?
I mean,
I'll
Storm is the absolute gimme of the round. It's a gimme. They should win that by plenty. They always do, even when Souths are good.
Yeah, and I can't take. Maybe I'll take the Warriors against the Roosters in round 10. Because that's an away team.
There you go.
Looks like I'm either back on the Warriors or back on the Storm. I think I'm going to go back. I think I'm going to pick the Storm. Fuck it. There you go. You just talked me into it.
I mean, I view you as one of my main competition. I shouldn't be trying to help you.
No, but I don't. Yeah, I'm going to stay away from the Roosters for the moment because they just shit me. I'll just go and put $100 on Dragons instead.
That'll make you feel better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need to change in my spreadsheet. I've currently got an asterisk beside Storm because that's who I had down to take. So delete that and put my asterisks with Manly.
So send me the message, Manly, and I'll change it.
I have done that in the 52% channel.
Okay, all right, and I'm gonna on. Yeah, I'm gonna say and back it and I have changed to the Storm.
Okay, I'm gonna get this file prepped and sent to David.
Thanks, mate. Take
Okay,
care.
see ya.
Cheers. Bye.